out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 162. This is the 162nd edition here at the Caffeination. This is the PodCamp Philly Aftermath edition as well. Hopefully everybody out there is having a good weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. I cannot even begin to express how awesome this past little shindig was. It's pretty cool. I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk to you about. If you've been reading the blog over at www.caffination.com, that's caffeination.com, you will see a metric ton of information, and I'm not done yet. I have at least two or three more articles that I have notes all set up for. Everything is all ready for. I just never got around to actually putting everything up online. One, I actually have to do a couple little diagrams for and everything. It's chock full of information. If you're ever thinking about going into podcasting, if you're ever thinking about going into new media, I strongly suggest that you at the very least check out my notes on the stuff. I mean, this isn't the stuff that I'm saying. This is stuff that people who are in the know are saying. While I do have a large amount of knowledge about certain things, there are definitely plenty of people out there who have much more knowledge than myself. So I figure I would pass on what they have passed on to me by way of my notes. Now, my notes, by and large, are in no way 100% inclusive, shall we say. They don't cover everything from soup to nuts that was given in the presentation. They just cover the things that struck me. And what strikes me might be a little bit different than what strikes you. So at the end of the show, I'm actually going to put a link over to PodCamp Philly. You can go over there. They actually have a whole bunch of the video sessions, stuff that I didn't even attend. I know there's at least two more sessions that I didn't attend that I wanted to. They kind of matched up with other stuff I really wanted to see. And you know, it's like I'm now slated to, I think, watch like 2 hours of video over the next couple nights just so I can catch up on all the stuff I really wanted to see. Unbelievable time, great people, and I think the coolest thing about PodCamp in general is if you are a podcaster, you have this, like, I don't know, this inner fire, this passion about what you do, if you've been doing it for a while, because if you didn't, you wouldn't still be doing it. That's just a plain and simple thing. So you have this inner fire, you have this passion, and quite often, since podcasting is one of those relatively new media types, the people around you don't necessarily share in that fire, that passion. They support you because they love you. That's the easiest way to put it. But they don't necessarily understand it when you're babbling on about the dig effect or where you're going to host your media or about who owns the content if you use Feedburner versus if you're a member of Podshow or whatever else. Whatever else you might think, it's one long, strange little journey there. But the fun thing is, going to some place like this, going to some PodCamp-style event, you meet like-minded people. So you can sit there and blather on about the things that have been irritating you, people in the scene that you just don't dig. You can go from top to bottom, all over the place, and if you find, you know, it's just great discussion. It's unbelievable. My dad once he actually grows orchids, and one of the things that he was talking about was early on in the orchid cultivation lifestyle, there was a article written about orchid madness, about the people who were so into these orchids, so into the new and different ways in which they pollinated and everything else like that. They actually tried to craft a disease based around it. They said there was something in the flowers that was actually causing people to go crazy. So I have caught the fever, this pod fever, as it were. I have caught the I have found myself reinvigorated to come back here and give you the best possible show that I think that I am capable of. We've got a couple little tips and tricks that I'm hopefully going to be able to employ to their fullest throughout the run of the Caffeination from here forward. We are actually thinking about starting a second podcast, but we'll get into that a little bit later on if it actually comes up. We do have a rather normal show, except for the fact that most of the stuff's about PodCamp. So I figure I'd go over some of my notes with you, give you some of the information that I saw. I'm not going to sit here and read them to you. I'm not going to give you the presentations that, you know, because these presentations are around a half hour, 45 minutes each. So I'm not going to sit there and rock that out. I'm also trying to limit the show to right around 40 to 45 minutes. We'll see if we can actually strap ourselves down to that little time period. But again, just like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners. To all the new listeners, everybody who stopped by the Caffeination for the first time, if I met you at PodCamp, hello, glad to meet you, glad to make your acquaintance, glad to actually put faces to the names. I hopefully didn't butcher your name. I was really trying this weekend. I have a habit of doing that, in case anybody didn't know. And to all of our returning listeners, hello, and you might want to welcome all the other people in the community that are now sitting next to you, to your left and to your right, you know. Just say hello, extend a nice handshake of greeting. We are a proud member here at the Caffeination Podcast of the Tech Podcast Network, so if it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows who have agreed to create child-safe and family-friendly content over at www.techpodcasts.com. You can find us at www.caffination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can get in touch with us via email at caffeination@gmail.com, via phone, and just leave us a little voicemail at 215-240-1319. Skype is The Caffeination, all one word. And any other way you would like to try and get a hold of us, you are more than welcome to try. All right, we wanted to talk to you right at the beginning of today's show. I want to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. This show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs into GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not all charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet with anyone as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime as well without ever having to leave that office of yours. You're not only going to end up saving time, but a bucket of money as well. You can see for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, well, we do have two pieces of PodSafe music for you today. They were both so relevant that I couldn't choose between the two of them. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you probably have heard them. They are quite famous in the podcasting community. So the first one that we have up here is actually going to be, let me just make sure I got this right, is actually going to be Cruise Box on a podcast. It's first heard, or well, the place I first heard it was Adam Curry's Daily Source Code. So again, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have Cruise Box on a podcast.
Do you remember way back last summer when mainstream radio was such a freaking bummer? No indie music, nothing too funny. Clear channel radio.
Again, that was Cruise Box with On a Podcast from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got going for you today. There's a pretty cool amount of stuff that I have lined up. Let's just get right on into it, shall we? All right, one second. Let me find out. All right, I'm going to run through some of the sessions I attended and hopefully be able to actually showcase some of the people who presented. The first one that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is actually the session on search engine optimization. Now, it's something that I never really gave a lot of consideration to. I'm just going to be very honest with you. I thought it was much more of a buzzword compliant class, and I kind of accidentally happened upon it. I was actually in the room beforehand. Before we get into that, I forgot to say this. One of the coolest things about PodCamp was I actually got to put, like I said, faces to names. And, there were actually two other members of the Tech Podcast Network. Those of you who are familiar with Mike Smith from the Mike Tech Show, he was there, and I actually met him the night before. And then there was Keith from the A Couple of Admins podcast, who was also there as well. Apparently, he's a listener of Mike's show. I listen to Mike's show every once in a while. I have to actually redo my whole podcast library because I had a couple that kind of died there. So I'm actually a very bad podcast listener for the past 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, it's a... the only show I downloaded at any point in time, or at least checked the feed on, was mine, because I just wanted to make sure it was actually working. I was incredibly bad at doing that, so I have to catch up on a lot of stuff that's out there. I'm just starting to catch up on some of the blogs that I read as well. Beginning of school always throws me off. All right, well, anyway, Mike really helped me out because batteries for my camera, yeah, the whole Boy Scout motto, be prepared, went for everything but batteries for my camera on the first day. So Mike really helped me out and took a lot of pictures and gave them to me so I could post them up on the blog. So if you've been reading caffeination.com this weekend, you realize there's been about 5 or 6 articles all on PodCamp, so you are probably completely saturated with information. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to super saturate you at this point. I'm going to move forward here. The search engine optimization, like I was saying originally, the session was unbelievable. It was actually from a group called Dinkum Interactive. There were two gentlemen who were in there that I actually missed their names, and I'm incredibly sorry that I did that. The one that was listed on the site, which I'm not actually sure he gave it, was Rick Simmons of Dinkum Interactive. So I hope that I'm not misrepresenting who actually gave the seminar, but it was fabulous. And there was a couple things that I basically wanted to touch on before I move on. If you'd like to see more, you can actually read the blog that I posted up, read the notes that I posted, but you can also, I hope to be able to find the link to all the video and the audio that was produced for this weekend. Supposedly most of the sessions were actually recorded, so we should be able to actually get copies of the sessions, which is unbelievable when you really think about it. It's all going to be licensed under the Creative Commons license, so anybody can use it, download it, and you know, as long as you stay within their relevant terms. Alright, well, the one primary thing that I didn't understand, at least at first, I really didn't think about it, I guess, was it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what other people think. So it doesn't matter that I think people that should be searching for coffee and tech news. No. If somebody finds my podcast because I at one point in time wrote an article about how to turn vodka into coffee flavored vodka, then that's where I need to focus. I need to find out why they found that and then try and use that terminology or try and fit away into the podcast or into everything else to bring more people in. So if I have a whole bunch of tags and if I have a whole bunch of content on my site, it doesn't matter if no one's finding it. So there were a couple of people in the session who kept asking questions, and the two guys kept coming back to the fact is it doesn't matter what you think. If you think this is how this word's supposed to be spelled, but you find out that 95% of the population on the internet, and they gave you a couple different cool websites. One of them is SEODigger.com. It's a good reference site apparently for words or phrases in popular use, and it actually gives you a little bit of a list of the different things that are currently in the news, currently popular and hyped up terms. So it's actually I think I'm misrepresenting this one. This actually gives you information about any website. So All right, let's see what else we have here from actual PodCamp, the SEO thing. Another two things that I actually knew about, but I didn't think they were as important as they said. First of all, analytics are absolutely required. So no matter if you're doing a podcast, if you're doing a blog, if you just have a website that sells a product, for instance, on the Caffeination website, the product is what you are currently listening to. It is the actual audio. So I want people, the final thing that I would like people to do, if you're going to click ads, that's awesome. That's a value-added feature. But my primary source of income is through the downloads of this show. It's through the unique downloads, actually. So it's not just, you know, if you sit there and pull it down 30,000 times from one computer, I'm flattered that you would attempt to do that, but it's not going to help me in the long run because they filter out for unique IP addresses. So your one little machine is going to have 30,000 hits on it. It's going to blow my bandwidth quota out of the water, and then I'm going to be left with one listener who managed to download it 30,000 times. So they said analytics are absolutely key. Analytics are basically a program that runs behind the scenes to find out who's listening to your show or who's on your site, how long they stayed there, how they got there, whether or not it was an organic thing, whether or not somebody else linked to you, whether or not it was through a search engine, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the other thing, which I guess I'm a little bit of an old school web developer, I always put metadata in the web pages I design. Apparently, Google completely ignores metadata now, I guess because of the rampant abuse of it, but Yahoo and Microsoft still use it to a certain degree. I was completely blown out of the water there. The other thing was actually really happy about, because I switched my primary website, which if you are unaware, my primary website is puzzlepiecepro.com. It actually stands for the company that creates this podcast, the Caffeination Podcast. That would be Puzzle Piece Productions. One of the things that I spent a lot of time last year on was actually breaking the site down and turning it into CSS, you know, creative style sheets. Basically, it's a much quicker, much cleaner, much faster way of loading web pages and programming how things look. They said this is unbelievably helpful for your search rank because it doesn't put a lot of bad code on the page. There's not a lot of JavaScript errors and things like that. So it really helps clean things up, and it also forces you to adhere to a certain set of design rules, I guess. So that's another really big thing you have to do. And the only other thing I wanted to talk to you about, at least with the SEO on the podcast, that is that sitemaps are a complete pain in the rear end to do. It's not like the sitemap that you actually have on your site, like, you know, one page in a outline format. Yeah, no. These are actual XML documents saying where everything is located on your site. So they can be a pain in the rear end to actually create. But your site is worthless if you don't have one. WordPress users can actually find a Google sitemap generator. It's actually what I use. And if you are plugged into Google Analytics, a very popular program, then you can actually upload your sitemap to there. So, I mean, I'm going to discuss a little bit more about this later on. But and then the other fun little fact here is that if you have a name that has a hyphen, and then the same name has an underscore. Let's just say if I was going to do the original name for this podcast was CAFFI-NATION, so Caffa-Nation to separate the two words, that would be better if I had tried to do Caffa_Nation. I guess because people more often will search using the hyphen as opposed to the underscore. In fact, most people don't know when you say underscore what exactly that is. So that about wraps up the soup to nuts version of the SEO clinic. Unbelievable clinic. Really opened my eyes to a lot of the different things that are happening. I mean, on my very own website. You're going to see some changes rolling out on the website. Hopefully, they'll all be for the better. Hopefully, everything will get cleaned up and work much better than it already does. There's a couple things that are kind of out of place and a couple things that I need to add in just so that more people actually find the show. Now, the next one I wanted to talk to you about was a great... I didn't go to a bad session here. So, the next one I wanted to talk to you about is actually a very informative session sponsored by Blip TV and the MommyCast. If you are unaware of what the MommyCast is, you're probably in the minority at this point in time. They are one of the first shows to have a major corporate sponsor. I mean, we're not talking like a software vendor or something like that where maybe not a lot of people know them. This show is sponsored by Dixie. The Dixie Living Ware, the plates, the cups, the whole nine yards. I mean, massive corporation. Now, what they were doing is they were actually giving you their experiences between them and the marketing agency that was also there, which I didn't catch the name of and I'm kicking myself for. I actually got to meet and talk to the mommies for just a short time. That's actually Gretchen and Paige, if you, again, are unaware. And unbelievably nice people. I didn't think I met a nasty person there. So I guess these people were just over and above nice. So anyway, back to the actual content. They wanted to give you a couple little very interesting things. Now, my notes on this session aren't exactly the best here. Let's just put it that way. I got much better at taking notes the longer the podcamp went on. So next year it's going to be even better. Trust me. All right. But the one thing they wanted to put out there is that advertising companies and possible clients are always looking for this. They're looking for a very consistent message and above all else, quality. They don't care how many podcasts you put out necessarily, but they want the podcast to be of a certain quality. So if you're going for a very professional clientele, if you're going for a very affluent market or something like that, you can't have a podcast that sounds like crap. You can't have a show that has questionable content in there. They actually gave an example of a show where they had a link to a pleasure aid, a female pleasure aid. That's the easiest way to put it, I guess. I'm not sure if actually naming that kind of stuff is a G-rated, so I don't want anybody to have to explain it to a kid, so we're just going to skirt by that issue completely. But basically, the marketing agency was there, was saying they were trying to pitch a separate show to a vendor, and the week that the vendor decided to listen to the show, they posted this video on that topic, and that completely blew it out of the water. And they basically wanted to show you some of the mistakes that have already been made in the space, so that you don't have to. It says learn and steal from the best, you know. So basically, you take whatever is out there, you take whatever shows that you admire, and you learn from them. You emulate them to a certain degree. It says who to approach. How do you find a sponsor for your show? One of the first things they said is you look for companies that are already into new media buys. So if you see a company that's already advertised on podcasts, already advertises on websites, or has a direct link to your topic, one of those two things, then that's a good company to attempt to approach. And again, another one is the content specific buys out there. So if I can actually find a coffee manufacturer, roaster, whatever else like that, that I actually have a somewhat similar views with. I mean, they said basically it's all up to you. One of the things that they actually noted, one of the questions that was actually asked from the audience, actually not, this is not in the notes, was that, does anybody ever tell you what to say, basically? So, you know, can a vendor come in or a client come in and say, you know what, yeah, we'd like if you didn't talk about this topic from here on out. And most people, the general consensus in the room is that the people who buy advertising on programs such as The View or Oprah or whatever else like that, they don't have any say whatsoever. I mean, no advertiser has any say in the content that's on the program by just being there. Basically, by attaching your name to that program, you are considered an approving voice. You are an enabler of it to a certain extent. But nobody would say, let's just say, or Oprah does a show on incredibly sexually active teenagers and how they abuse their parents or something like that. It's not going to say that whatever corporation that sponsored that episode is going to be linked to it, but if you disagree to a certain extent, then you have the right to pull your advertising. But no advertiser would ever contact the show and say, you know what, you need to change this. It just doesn't happen. You know, you don't have Dateline saying, oh yeah, well, you know what, we were going to talk about politics today, but yeah, the Republican National Party kind of wanted to sponsor the show, so we're just going to ignore that completely. Now, that doesn't happen, you know what I mean? At least you would hope it doesn't happen, but still. All right, and let's see what else I had. I wrote myself a personal note, but I decided to keep it in there anyway. It says, if you own a website, if you have a brand, if you have new media, craft a media kit. So basically, just look up online what a media kit is. It's an explanation of the demographic that listens to your show. We are going to be doing another survey for the podcast, by the way. I was actually contacted by somebody who informed me that my advertising survey was somewhat out of date. I think end of 2006, maybe? So I do need to actually do another advertising survey, so that'll be a very short, probably a one-month run of the advertising survey. So even if you have filled it out previously, I would be incredibly grateful if you did it again. We're going to start it probably with the next show. I have to set it all up and everything like that. But, you know, basically, that's the end of the sponsorship points and things I wanted to talk to you about. All right, now the next little thing we had up here is I actually visited a metric ton of this gentleman's sessions, Mike Blevis, who actually runs the Electric Sky podcast, Just One More Book podcast, and among a huge number of other ones. Awesome guy, came down from Ottawa, Canada, and he just has he's a font of information about new media. He was in the community, some of the parts, building community around your show session. He was in the editing session, and he was also in the new media mistakes with CC Chapman and Linda Mills. All great sessions I managed to catch, and I didn't realize that I was actually gravitating towards those sections until I started writing this. There were three with him right in a row, so that's just what happened. That's just where the dice fell, shall we say. All right, well, sorry, getting ahead of myself here, but The community actual symposium was a much more open-ended forum than some of the other ones I had actually been in. He gave his presentation, and people were really involved. People were really commenting back and forth. And there were a couple things I just wanted to touch on here. It says, basically, conversation is to podcasting as a soundbite is to radio. So the fact that I am sitting there broadcasting out, I'm hopefully not just screaming out into the atmosphere. I'm hopefully not just yelling out. I'm a voice pontificating about various things. I do have my views, but I accept and encourage you to respond with yours. But it's also it's dialogue back and forth. I get email from listeners fairly frequently, and I love conversing, even if it's off air, even if they write something in and they say, you know what, don't use this on the show. You just sit there and you have a nice back and forth about this kind of stuff. It's unbelievable the amount of connection that you can get with your audience, and if you're just a blogger or something like that. I realize that this episode might not speak to everybody who listens to the Caffeination, but I wanted to put it out there for the couple of people who did have podcasts and who didn't have the luck to be able to attend this weekend's sessions. he also wanted to say a couple things about businesses are just starting to realize the power of podcasting. Now this was a thing that was actually hit on a couple different times in different things throughout the weekend, but podcasting, the listening audience is an incredible demographic, and one of the statistics people used, or one of the for instances that people used, was that if the Nielsen ratings say that there are 2 million people watching an episode of Lost, I mean, I'm just completely random numbers here, that doesn't mean that 2 million people were actually paying attention to it. That doesn't mean that there were not 5 TVs in the house, and it just so happened to be somebody who was doing laundry and wandered from room to room and didn't want to miss any significant parts of the episode. However, podcasting is a very active media. It means that you actually had to go out and download it. You actually had to consider this show and stay subscribed to it. You can just as easily click unsubscribe or just ignore it. You don't have to download the media. So the fact that you do makes you an active participant in this conversation that we are having, in this back and forth. So businesses don't realize that, you know, when they're advertising with TV, they say, oh no, you know, we're reaching X number of eyeballs. Yes, but they're all passive listeners. When you're advertising with podcasts, they're active listeners. They're people that are engaged in your product. They're people that had to actually go out to listen to this. And they're people that actually, when it comes right down to it, have a say in how the podcast is actually produced, which is unbelievable. It's basically, if I have 15 emails that write into me and say, you know what, no more PodSafe music, I would seriously consider saying, you know what, I might have to reconsider the amount of PodSafe music. I might have to reconsider the frequency that I play PodSafe music. That hasn't happened. I've actually gotten a lot of support for that, so it stays, and I'm very happy about that. Like I said to a lot of people this weekend, I'm soothing the inner DJ in myself. I've wanted to be a DJ at different points in time, so this kind of soothes that out. And two of the very interesting podcasts that Mark actually mentioned in this one were the Whirlpool podcast, actually done by the people who make the dryers, the dishwashers, and everything else, has absolutely nothing to do with the products. It's just created by the people at Whirlpool. They talk about incredibly socially relevant topics, and the fact that You know, they're talking about these. They're identified as employees of Whirlpool. It's actually the people who are sitting in the PR department and everything else like that. They're not working in random mentions of dishwashers or laundry machines that saved a child from drowning during Hurricane Katrina or anything like that. But basically, I wish I had the words that I had earlier today. I'm fried, if you haven't been able to tell. But I'm also wired. And it's not the amount of caffeine that I have in me. I'm just so excited about how great this weekend went. And I'm so excited about the idea of being able to put some of the things that I've seen into practice. And hopefully everybody will enjoy it. But still, moving right along. It's basically... With the Whirlpool podcast, it's basically a general feeling that you might get about the brand. It's to increase the brand's recognizability, I guess, in the back of your head. So if the people in the Whirlpool podcast are talking about things and they're getting listeners, and they said something like by the second month they were doing it, they had 70,000 downloads, which is insane. But by having that number of people subscribe to the show and talking about socially relevant things, talking about things that really interested people, the next time you went for an appliance, you might be more favorable towards the brand of Whirlpool. And then on the complete opposite side of that, you have something like the Butterball podcast, which produces every year right around Thanksgiving and talks about all the fun things that happened to turkeys and different people that have burned their house down and how you should cook a turkey. It's a kind of an extension of the turkey hotline that they do. So that was actually mentioned by one of the people in the actual session. So that was one of those things where it's like, you know what, it's really funny. It's a great use of their brand because, I mean, while it's not something that's a year-round show, it's not something that you would consider listening to, let's just say, in March, unless you're trying to do a turkey and you like to find out how. But I'm sure there's enough people eating turkey at any given point in time that Butterball is probably not hurting for money in the middle of the year when Thanksgiving's not upon us. But it says that there's a difference between blog evangelists and corporate podcasters as well as soul and heart. It says podcasters have to have soul. The conversations that work around us need to have feeling behind them. They need to be able to say, from one to another, what exactly everything means. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. I didn't want to spend too much time on this. And they said the only big difference between radio and podcasting is that radio is very real time, while it's also passive. But there's an element where in that moment, conversation can take place. You can call into a radio show, I guess, which is why a lot of the different podcasts are actually doing live events. But podcasting is definitely a two-way conversation. It says email is to IM what voicemail is to call in. So you can leave voicemails for our show at 215-240-1319 and join in the conversation. So hopefully we'll actually be able to continue our conversation as we head on towards the... new media mistakes thing, and then we have two little things with PodCamp, and I will not abuse your ears with it further. Like I said, I am incredibly passionate about what I do, and this just did nothing more than stoke the fires that surround me. So if you are interested in the different hardware that people use to record on the road, that was the next thing to discuss in New Media Mistakes and everything else like that. That was with CC Chapman, Mark Blevis again, and Linda Mills, and they talk about some of the different recording pieces of hardware that they use. For instance, the Zoom HR, the Eterol R1, now discontinued, and the Eterol R09. I'm looking to see if they actually had that one put up there because it was great. But one thing that I wanted to touch on here that I actually have in the notes, again, this was very bad notes that I was taking at this point in time. It says, in an interview, how do you make your questions more relevant? Now, I'm personally petrified of interviewing anyone. I don't know if I would have anything to say, and I would always be afraid that somehow the interviewee would turn around and it would bite me in the rear end. But I'm always wondering for how do you get that extra set of questions? How do you get somebody to pull the information out and get that natural tone that's so wonderful for podcasts? And one of the ways they actually said it was at the end of the interview, ask this type of question to open up the discussion. And it says, what did I not ask you that you thought that I would? That kind of question, a very open-ended question, not is there anything else you would like to talk about? While that's open-ended, it's also very trite. It's something that everybody expects to hear. It's kind of like what you have at the end of the job interview when you're just too scared to say anything you might be afraid of screwing something up. And the other thing that they said is let the question breathe. Pause at the end of your comment. Wait at least 2 seconds before continuing. This is actually something I learned when I was visiting a psychiatrist earlier in my life. Everything was fine, trust me. There's nobody sitting on my shoulder right now anyway. But one of the things he said was the one of the ways psychologists actually got you to... Was it a psychiatrist or a psychologist? I'm always confused about that. All right. A shrink. One of the ways that they get you to open up is they actually ask these very poignant, very open-ended questions, and then they just sit there. They repress the urge to add in the parts of the conversation. So they actually get you to open up more because silence is very uncomfortable. So by being silent at the end of somebody's answer, you allow for the thought to ferment just a little bit, and there might be another little gem that pops out, but by only waiting 2 seconds, you're also not making the person you're interviewing so uncomfortable that they want to leave and scream and run away. So just one of the things that I thought I'd pass along to everybody out there. There was so much else in that session that was unbelievable that I really didn't want to just, you know, drill it home. I just wanted to kind of put it out there and let you find your own. If I can find the audio for this stuff, I'll definitely put a link up to everything. Now, the editing thing, that the editing session with Mark Blevis was unbelievable. It took so much out of the way that I do the podcast and allowed me to expand the way that I edit things. It allowed me to take a closer look exactly what I was doing to create some of the problems that I've seen in the show. And he went through how do you make cuts, what are the reason for some of the cuts. For instance, one of the things that I usually did is if I was blending two segments, I would have the one end fading up and the other one end fading down. So they would cross in the middle, basically a crossfade. But when you do that, if you do them both at the same level, there's actually a valley of audio. There's a lull in the audio in between that, so that you can't necessarily hear it. And like I said, I'm going to be posting the notes on the editing session, so I just want you to make sure you check back. There are 3 articles that are actually coming out tomorrow or the day after. The one is on editing. Hopefully I'm going to try and recreate some of the stuff that I saw on the board, or I'm just going to find the session online and repost that so everybody else can see it. The second one is on the Philly Tech guys. That would be Mike, Keith, and myself and our travels throughout the show, and a big thank you to the organizers yet again. And the last thing that we're actually going to do is actually the last topic we have here today in the Tech Tidbits section where we're discussing PodCamp anyway, is Used Wigs Radio. It's a fun little Philadelphia podcast where they were actually, it's 3 artists basically. It's a artist, a musician, and a writer who have this great indie podcast that's all about... It's all about stuff in the Philadelphia area. It's all about the indie music and the indie art scene. So what they had was they actually had impromptu art today. One of the guys in the show, Todd, actually sat out there with an Arch D sized paper, 24 by 36 inches, and he was just drawing freeform art. If you went up and you added a shape, and of course I started to draw a coffee cup, so I had a circle with 3 squiggles to indicate the steam, he actually took that and went in a completely different direction. It was unbelievable, and I just sat there like amazed watching him. So the article that we're going to actually pop up here, I'm actually going to do a little bit of piece on their show because it just seems to be an interesting concept, so it's definitely plugged in for the commute tomorrow morning. But at the same point in time, I'm also going to put the video up that I took of him actually doing the coffee cup abstract art piece, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. All right, now we have 4 bits of actual news, then just a touch of caffeinated bits, and we'll get on our way. But first, we wanted to get to a second little bit of PodSafe music, or you know what, we're going to hold that one off for the next time. There's no other way to... there's no other way to really do it. This show's gonna stretch for hours on end, so we'll hold that one to next time. You'll be all right, trust me. We have 4 little bits of news here. It's basically the first thing I have up here just astounded me. I've heard of stories of cities in China being built in 10 years that weren't there before, that are bigger than Manhattan right now. But this is a story of a very well-known city, Tokyo, 35 years in development. So basically, they show you downtown Tokyo, and in 10 seconds, they show buildings popping up, different things flying around, and you can just see how massive the city looks from its rather humble roots 35 years ago. Now, Philadelphia hasn't changed all that much. Yeah, there have been skyscrapers that have bumped up here and there, and they did actually break the crest of Billy Penn's hat. But definitely an eye-opening event to see, you know, 35 years of development in one little clip. The next thing I had up here is just a fun little thing one of our listeners sent in, to actually a guy named Joe. He said the Transformer cell phone from the movie was made real. Transformer cell phone serves your robo fetish. It's unfortunately not a working cell phone, but it looks like a Motorola sliver or something like that, and it transforms into a robot, which is better than a lot of the Transformer toys since they don't actually transform. The next thing we have up here, this one's from over at Engadgets, actually, iRobot, poster-making bot for shaky hands. Basically, it's a series of Sharpies. It's like kind of like a pen plotter on the back of a Roomba, and as it drives, it actually writes behind it. Now, this seems like a derivation of something that I saw a little while ago that was actually... It's a derivation. I actually saw somebody who had this mounted on the back of his bike, and it sprayed in biodegradable chalk. So he was writing things across the streets of New York City right before the Republican National Convention. He got arrested, his bike got taken, although he was well within his rights, and he wasn't actually destroying anything. So, I mean, that's neither here nor there, but this looks like a much more sedate version of that, except it uses a permanent marker. So it could be nasty if you put one of these in the hallway of your school and decided to drive it down there with any kind of different lettering. I'm pretty sure it would be a very nasty surprise for somebody who came across it, and especially the people who had to actually clean it. But it says you need to have a fair degree of competency with C++ and a whole lot of peripheral kit to build the thing. Still, it's an awesome idea, and you really need to head on over there. I think they actually have a video of it over at Engadget. And then the last little thing that we had here for the tech tidbits section is the touchscreen ATM bank that teaches kids that spending money is a game. Basically, it's a mini little ATM for kids. They have their own little card that fits in it, and you can store it with money and everything. Now, there's two different schools of thought on this. One being that you're teaching children that consumerism is fine, that the capitalism system is working, it's great, there's always going to be money, and it's actually somewhat of a game. There is a slight element of that, but I'm going to take it further and say, you know what, I think this is more along the lines of fiscal responsibility. So if parents never add money to the bank on this thing, and the kid starts just taking out money left and right, it's going to run out of money. No matter how much money you put in this thing, it's eventually going to run out of money. So by having this as a real bank, like a piggy bank style thing, you would eventually teach your children some sort of fiscal responsibility, because they're going to realize that money doesn't necessarily grow on trees. While it's fun to stick the card in and get all the cash out you would like, you can't get more cash than you have. And, you know, it's just a neat idea. I'd like to see a little bit more on this. I don't really necessarily have a problem with marketing things to kids. I mean, a lot of people have issues with stuff like the Ronald McDonald, you know, the clowns. They say they're basically equating the Ronald McDonald character with a Joe Camel trying to sell cigarettes to kids, trying to sell a bad food to kids, and this one trying to sell consumerism to kids. But you know, at the same point in time, if you live in a capitalist society, if you live in a society that has a lot of money flowing from and, you know, to and from, you got to teach people how to do it somehow, you know? I just think this is a great tool. I think it has potential, you know what I mean? Alright, and then that wraps up the tech tidbit section here at the Caffeination. And the two little bits of caffeinated bits information that I had for you today are coffee sponsors for the weekend. Comcast Interactive actually sponsored coffee at Starbucks for free on Saturday. No matter what you wanted, they had a tab running all morning. It was unbelievable. I'm not one for Starbucks. I usually rip them roundly. The coffee was not burnt this time, which is a positive. However, the beans probably were, which wasn't as good. But it was free. And anybody who buys me free coffee is all right in my book. And then the actual Starbucks that was in the building at Drexel was closed on Sunday. So a local vendor, Red Lasso, a company that actually searches through media and does a revenue sharing plan. They're still in beta, but it just seems pretty cool. What they're doing is, let's just say you on your website, if you have like an Eagles blog or a Philadelphia, you know, blog or something like that, you decide to use a clip out of a show that discusses something. If you do it through Red Lasso, that content is tagged, the audio is scraped for what's actually in it, and if you post that on your site, the advertisers that are in that supported the show when it was on traditional media get a part of the cut, and you get a part of the cut from that advertising revenue, from the amount of eyeballs that actually went to it. So it just seems to be, I hope I'm explaining it correctly, but it seems to be a great product for a certain section of people. I don't necessarily use a lot of clips or anything like that. The only ones I put up there are stupid people doing fun things, but it definitely has potential. I'm pretty impressed by the way that it actually scrapes the audio and can give you a pretty good transcript of it. But anyway, to cut a long story short, too late, I know. There was a definite lull in the amount of coffee that was available today. I actually went out and got some from Bucks County Coffee Company today. And Red Lasso came in at the last minute, or actually at the first minute this morning, with two giant boxes of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts and supplied coffee to everybody free of charge again. So thank you very much to Red Lasso. You enabled the sessions to go off today. You enabled people to actually function as normal human beings in a situation where they might not have otherwise. So great time had by all. Hope I didn't bore everybody who's not really interested in the PodCamp Philly stuff. I have not been involved in a con of this kind. I've never actually been to something like this, so I guess I'm understandably excited and enthused. So I just wanted to share it with everybody out there, and hopefully people will give me just a little bit of leeway on this one. So like I said, this has been a great show. This has been a great experience, and I hope to continue it next year. Next year, I'm actually going to be doing my own session. So I'm going to be taping that, and you'll be able to hear that firsthand unless you're going to be going, which I would suggest heartily you attend your nearest PodCamp. Even if you're just a listener, it's a great time and just wonderful people. So, all right, I just wanted to do the rundown at the end of the show, and then I will let you get on your way. All right, this show is the Caffeination Podcast. You can find us over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can email us, you can contact us rather via email at caffeination@gmail.com. Our listener line is 215-240-1319. And the Skype ID is thecaffeination, all one word. Homing pigeon, they can find their own way, trust me. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, myspace.com/caffeination for all of your caffeinated MySpace fun. And all right. And I just happened to somehow kill the music there in the background. Well, I think it's that's my signal for bed here, people. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.